This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Worries about a subtle slowdown are gaining traction. From APM in New York, I'm Matt Nesto, sitting in for David Brancaccio. Evidence is mounting that the U.S. economy may not be quite as robust as many investors and central bankers have touted it to be. This at a time when we've seen softening data on personal spending, manufacturing, job growth, and auto sales just this week alone. It's a situation that's heightened concerns that tomorrow's all-important jobs report could be a disappointment. I asked Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets in London, how he feels about this growing body of bad evidence.
You know, if you actually look behind the jobless numbers, the employment numbers in the U.S., there has been some indication that the U.S. economy has been slowing down quite considerably. If you look at some of the wider data like durable goods, if you look at retail sales, if you look at consumer spending, for the last 4 or 5 months, that has actually been weakening, despite the fact that the jobs market has actually been growing quite significantly. And the fact of the matter is, I think the Fed is being slightly over-optimistic about the timeline for its rate tightening cycle. You know, and that's a worry when you look at the valuations of U.S. stock markets, which are still not far from all-time highs.
So finally, and really briefly, Michael, has it come to this? Should we actually be rooting for a terrible jobs number on Friday?
In a word, Matt, yeah, I think we should, because I think that will shift the focus back and push out the prospect of a Fed rate hike sometime this year. It will cause Fed members like Mr. Lockhart and Mester to actually change their tune with respect to the path of a tightening cycle.
Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets in London, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
A new kind of credit score is in the works for consumers who are off the radar. Fair Isaac, which creates the FICO score that lenders use to evaluate borrowers, is developing an alternative for people who have no credit scores, such as those who don't use credit cards. That could be as many as 53 million people. The new score will draw on other payment histories like phone bills. Marketplace's Dan Weissman reports.
The new score raises a question. Hey, why isn't this stuff baked into my credit report already? I pay my bills. Shouldn't that count? The answer is utility companies often don't tell the credit reporting bureaus. They don't need to. Not in the same way that, say, credit card companies do.
Every service provider has a carrot and a stick.
That's John Alzheimer. He's president of consumer education for CreditSesame.com. For your cell phone company, the stick is easy. They can shut off your service.
Visa or MasterCard or Amex or Discover can't come repossess anything if you stop making your payments.
All they can do is rat you out to the credit bureaus as a deadbeat. So that reporting is a core function for them. Even when utilities want to report this kind of data, they often have to ask permission from state regulators. Michael Turner is president of the Political and Economic Research Council.
When a utility company goes to the regulator and says, gee, we'd like to report our payment data to a credit bureau, they're told hell no.
He says regulators often think reporting data means giving it to telemarketers. I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Stocks in Europe are a little changed right now after strength overnight in Europe, particularly in Tokyo. In the U.S., futures are down by about 0.33%. Tax season poses unique challenges for same-sex married couples around the country. Missouri, for example, doesn't recognize same-sex marriages, but the governor there has allowed those couples to file their state taxes as married couples. Alabama's another state. It's a situation that's leaving accountants at tax time flustered, Gigi DeBan reports.
Look near the top of your tax return. There are three boxes: single, married, and married filing separate. Pick one. But it's got to be the same for federal and state, which is a problem if you're in a same-sex marriage in a state that doesn't recognize you as married. Joseph Henchman is over legal and state projects with the Tax Foundation.
So one state law says we don't recognize same-sex marriage, so you can't file jointly. And another state law says if you file jointly federally, you have to file jointly at the state level.
Henchman says it comes down to which state law to violate. All 22 states that had this issue last year have since issued guidance, except Alabama. Henchman says the state briefly posted instructions for taxpayers, and then
Alabama actually removed the guidance from its website.
Henchman says his group is still waiting for Alabama to respond to requests for taxpayer guidance. In the meantime, what are gay couples to do? They could leave it to someone like Randall Hancock, an accountant in Birmingham. He recently did a same-sex couple's taxes.
It wasn't a pleasant experience, I must say.
For one thing, because the state returns were single and the federal was joint, the state returns had to be done by hand and mailed in to the IRS. Plus, he had to get a special software add-on to split the returns and crunch the numbers right.
In this particular instance, I had to do one federal joint return and then two hypothetical federal returns to create the true and accurate state return for single filing status.
It was complicated, he says.
So nobody was too pleased with my accountant's bill at the end of the tax prep.
How bad was the damage? Hancock says his fee was more than double. In Birmingham, I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
And finally, we're following news of McDonald's plan to raise pay for its workers at its company-owned U.S. stores. The move follows similar pay raises at Walmart and Target, though it will not apply to those franchisees, which make up roughly 90% of McDonald's locations. There's 14,000 domestic Mickey D's. More of that story will be at Marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Matt Nesto with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.